The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Inside the Beltway on Friday the 13th. I am not one of those people who are at all suspicious. First-time callers are welcome this morning. It's been 2 weeks since the election. I haven't thrown open the phones, but I don't want to hear from the same old, same old. You have to call for the first time, and you got to persuade Ben and Harley that, in fact, you're a first-time caller. 1-800-520-1234. Let's remind everyone, Georgia, you can register to vote for another 3 or 4 weeks up till December 7th. In Georgia, Chuck Schumer's coming to take over your state. Cut number one.
Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Mr. Schumer?
Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
Get that. Take over, George. Take Georgia. Change the world. Take Georgia. Change America. 1-800-520-1234. Can we play that a second time, please? Oops, it's glitching.
Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Mr. Schumer?
Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
You understand that is the whole thing right now. The whole deal depends upon Republicans David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler winning their runoffs in Georgia. Why? Because that's the firewall against defunding the military, defunding the police, against packing the Supreme Court, against ending Medicare as you know it, against massive tax hikes, a destruction of the regulatory laissez-faire approach that has allowed the blue-collar boom to come in return. And, you know, I'm really afraid that the progressives will take any inch that the virus allows. The virus is searching across the United States, and people have to be smart. People have to wear masks. They don't have to in some places, but they ought to everywhere. And they ought to be very, very careful about not getting it. It remains a very serious disease. I've had a number of friends now who have had it, and I hope I miss it. I hope I get the vaccine before I get the disease. I'm in pretty good shape. I walk my 6 to 8 miles every day. But I don't want it, and I want people to be smart as cold weather descends and the flu season arrives. You don't want to get flu and COVID at the same time. My gosh, what a nightmare that would be. But people are still dying. People are still getting sick, so be smart. But what I really want to talk to you about is, how do you feel? 1-800-520-1234. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the leader of the House Democrats, even though Nancy Pelosi is the speaker, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the leader. She did a video yesterday, and here's what she said, cut number 14.
So, you know, of course, the loss of the House majority is just extraordinarily upsetting to all of us. It's upsetting to all of us who are invested in having a Democratic majority so that we can expand health care, so that we can raise wages, so that we can protect working people. And it's also personally very difficult because to lose these people, you know, many of them are my colleagues, and I'm proud to call many of them my friends. And the idea that they may not be returning next term is returning next term is extremely difficult on both just a personal and a policy and a political level.
I imagine that makes Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez more sympathetic to President Trump's supporters as they contemplate their loss, but I doubt it. She said they actually haven't lost the House majority, but I don't think she made a mistake. I think she intentionally said the loss of the House majority. Play the start of that again, cut number 14.
So, you know, of course, the loss of the House majority is just extraordinarily upsetting to all of us.
All right. So what does she mean by that? She means the loss of a progressive majority. She knows that I look for hours and I can't find a projection on the House because they really cannot project, for example, California 25, where Mike Garcia is ahead by 187 votes, and Iowa, where the Republicans up 47 votes. You know, there are some extremely close House seats, but I think the minimum that the Republicans can come in with is 210, and they might get up to 214. That's been the number since Tuesday night last. And that means they can't win without moderates and Republicans. They can't pass anything. And she's extraordinarily upset. But at least maybe she will indicate, she will understand, she will internalize what President Trump supporters are thinking. It's not the end of the world, by the way, to lose an election. Dwayne called me last night, and the young man has been cleaning our studio for nearly a decade, died in a car crash last weekend. He was not even 30 years old. Now, that is genuine grief for his family. Great, great kid. Great, great kid. And hadn't been there for 10 days. Of course, we're having it cleaned a lot during COVID, and so we made inquiries and found that out. We're all shocked, and our thoughts and prayers are with his family. And that's a genuine loss, but until you actually go through that and you get a few decades under your belt, you don't really know what real losing is, what real grief is. And so you process what you can, and I'm sympathetic to people who lose elections. All their volunteers, all the money, all the effort, the sweat equity, it's terrible. But you get over it. As I've told everyone, at 64, I've gone through 12 presidential elections, and the candidate preferred won 6 times, and the candidate I didn't like won 6 times. That's about what you can expect in your life if the American experiment continues for another many generations. So let's go to the phones. Let's start in Cynthia in Bristol, Tennessee. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you feeling?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
Terrific. Thank you.
I've really just had something on my mind lately. I know that everybody's passed the whole, they used Sharpies on my ballot. They handed me Sharpies. They took away my pens. But I had noticed when I looked up on the archives for the Arizona Democrat website for the election, they actually had a Q&A that was added on August 16th that stated that they, you know, do I have to use a special pen? And they were like, no, blue pen with blue or black ink, no permanent markers. Between the 1st of November and the 4th, they removed it. But I don't understand how they're telling their constituents only to use a blue or black pen.
But Cynthia, let me ask you something. You know that that doesn't impact the results of the election, right? That might upset you, but we have the Attorney General of Arizona. Good guy. I know Mark Brnovich. He's a good, solid conservative. This is Mark Brnovich on Fox Business yesterday. Again, he's a good, solid Republican conservative. Cut number 7.
The really short answer to this, Neil, is that on election night, if you looked at the numbers, and a lot of people that are really good at politics and polling here had said that it was possible for the president to come back. And as the numbers started returning, the president started making some gains. But the reality is right now there's, you know, less than 50,000 votes to count, and the president would have to get about 65% of them to win Arizona. So it does appear that Joe Biden will win Arizona. That being said, our office had received more than 1,000 complaints shortly after the election, dealing with bleed-throughs and people using Sharpies. We looked into that. We were able to determine that did not affect anyone's vote. They also did a random audit of 2% of the precincts, and it came back 100% that there wasn't any statistical anomalies or errors. As to the lawsuit that was filed, we are literally talking about less than 200 votes that are in question and doubt. So the reality is, even if it was possible that those votes flipped, those 200 votes, I do not think it will make a difference in Arizona just because of the numbers.
So what my point to you is, Cynthia, there's a petition over at HughHewitt.com. If people want audits like that done in various states, if they want to verify the vote, they can go to HughHewitt.com and sign that petition. In Arizona, the president is behind by 11,889 votes. He's behind by 14,056 votes in Georgia, by 20,557 votes in Wisconsin, and by 55,588 votes in Pennsylvania. And I mean, good, solid people like Mark Brnovich are looking. So I don't think you have to worry about any of the particular stories. You might want audits done in other places. There's a petition for people who do, but that's where we are today. Let's go to Grand Junction, Colorado. Robert, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Morning, Glory.
Morning, Glory.
I just have a question in regard to Joe Biden being the second Roman Catholic being elected president. And how does that square with his abortion position? What do you think about that, sir?
Well, Robert, I am Catholic and I am pro-life, and I am also Presbyterian and I am pro-life. I'm an evangelical Roman Catholic Presbyterian, and I do not, there is a doctrine in the Roman Catholic Church about the log in your own eye. I don't judge the quality of anyone's faith. I worry about my own soul, not theirs. I opposed President-elect Biden because of his policies, not because of his Catholicism or lack thereof or the quality of his faith. He goes to Mass. The Pope called him and congratulated him yesterday. And I don't believe religion and politics ought ever to cross in the public square, except to guarantee people's religious practice and that there be no discrimination against people who practice religion as prohibited by Article 6 of the United States Constitution. Thanks, Robert. 1-800-520-1234. Come back and check in with me. How you feeling here on the Hugh Hewitt Show on Friday the 13th? Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Just checking in with the audience on Friday the 13th. Let's go to Montana. Helena. Hey, Pete, how are you?
I'm doing good. Nice to talk with you.
Good morning to you. It's got to be a little chilly out in Montana.
I haven't been out yet. I suppose so. Probably, I'm not sure. It was nice yesterday.
Look out for the grizzly in the backyard. That's all I got to tell you.
Now you're reminding me of dumb jokes. Listen, I think the advertising blitz in Georgia ought to run something like Chuck Schumer vows to make Georgia howl, or perhaps we could talk about Chuck Schumer's march to the sea.
That's, you know what, it occurred to every Georgian already that he made a Sherman-esque statement, and the sequence from Gone with the Wind is playing in many people's minds. Let me play for you, by the way, Raphael Warnick, who we can't play, our thing, Raphael Warnick has got a 2008 Fox interview out there with Greta Van Susteren celebrating Jeremiah Wright as a preacher and a prophet. He's on Morning Joe with Willie Geist, won't say if Jeremiah Wright is anti-Semitic. I don't know what happened to our tape system. It's down. But when I get that back up, people are going to be shocked. Thank you very much, Pete. Let's go to Ken in Tennessee. Hey, Ken, good morning. How are you? Hey, Ken.
Am I on right now?
Yes, you are. You're on tape delay, so you got to turn off the radio.
Yeah, the radio is off, and I appreciate you taking my call. I've just been listening to your radio program for probably about the last 8 months or so, something like that. I just discovered it on the way to work one day. But, appreciate everything you've said, and I really appreciate your trying to help out Georgia. I had a question for you about that, though, particularly. Is the population of Georgia going to increase between now and the time that the end of registration for voting?
It is illegal to move to Georgia with the intention of voting and leaving. It is a crime. And so Republicans don't even think about that. And Democrats, you'll go to jail if you do that. They got to it is a crime to move to Georgia with the intention of establishing residency in order to vote and then leave. Now, if you happen to be moving to Georgia, and, you know, people do move to Georgia, I just then you can vote if you happen to be moving to Georgia. But if you move down there for the purposes of voting in the election, that's a crime. Does that answer your question, Ken?
Yeah, that does, and I just wonder how they're going to police that.
I think every new voter is going to have scrutiny. I mean, new voters had better be prepared for a question as to why are they in town. And if they're taking up, for example, I know a young lawyer at one of the big law firms down there and moved there. You know, eventually, you got to move to Georgia if you're a young adult. If you're a young adult and you're moving there to take up a job as an associate because you just finished law school and took the bar, bravo, vote. If you happen to be, you know, a climate activist who's coming down from Portland to Antifa it up in the streets of Atlanta and try and register, nah, you're going to go to jail. Hey, thank you, Ken. This is Reverend Warnock, who is the Democratic nominee against Kelly Loeffler with Greta Van Susteren in 2008, cut number 9.
To honor him.
Do you embrace the Reverend Wright? And let me focus on the sound bites, for lack of better words, but certainly he has said things like GD America and the things that he said, you know, the critical things, even of Senator Clinton never having to grow up and, you know, just a personal attack on her. Do you embrace that? Is that something you would do, sir, in your church?
We celebrate Reverend Wright in the same way that we celebrate the truth-telling tradition of the black church, which when preachers tell the truth, very often it makes people uncomfortable. And I think that the country has been done a disservice by this constant playing over and over again of the same sound bites outside of context. And we've seen this before. Sometimes we are miseducated by playing the sound bites of people whom we appreciate and adore. Martin Luther King Jr., for example. Over and over again, we hear certain speeches, I have a dream. But I would remind your listeners that Martin Luther King Jr. was a great patriot indeed. But the same Martin Luther King Jr. who had a way of saying, my country, tis of thee, said that America is the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today. He said the judgment of God is upon America. He said he was working on a sermon prior
Reverend,
to death, which he never got a chance to preach,
Reverend,
entitled Why America May Go to Hell.
All right, Reverend, let me ask you a question.
So the Reverend Warnock is not going to actually sell very well, I think, in Georgia as the oppo comes out. He got through the primary unscathed, but not anymore. Come right back. Sonny Bunch is next on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. 33 minutes after the hour on Friday the 13th. I am happy to welcome Sonny Bunch, who Bulwark goes to the movie. Sonny is here once a week. And Sonny, with the return of the virus in breathtakingly scary numbers, people are going to stay inside of their own volition, regardless of whether or not the government orders them to. And they got to watch stuff. What say you, Sonny? What do we watch?
Yeah, I mean, it's bad out there. There's lots of virus. I don't like it. So what should people watch? Well, there's a new movie out on VOD called Fat Man. It's called Fat Man. It's about a little boy who hires a hitman. The hitman is played by Walton Goggins of Justified fame to assassinate Santa Claus. It's a real feel good holiday movie. It's a darkly comic sort of thing. That is, I think it's actually pretty good. I mean, it's not.
You haven't laid it out in an enticing fashion, Sonny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's so ridiculous. I want to highlight the ridiculousness of it to get the point across here. But the movie is actually pretty good, I think. I mean, Mel Gibson plays Santa Claus. And Mel Gibson, of course, comes with all sorts of extra movie baggage, right? Like in terms of his persona and all that. But he is still Mel Gibson. He's still a great actor. And he gives Santa this sort of world-weary you know, world-weary absurdity that makes the whole thing work.
Well, that ought to come pretty naturally to Mel Gibson.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very strange, high-concept sort of movie. I am giving it a hearty recommendation with the knowledge that some of the people I recommend it to are not going to like it. But it's definitely, look, it's a darkly comic. I don't know, sardonic.
Why does the kid hate Santa Claus?
So the kid is not a big fan of Santa Claus because Santa brought him a lump of coal because he's a bad kid. He's a bad kid. He hires this hitman who is played by Walton Goggins to torment a classmate of his who happens to beat him in a science fair. Right? He's just a bad kid. He's this bad spoiled rich kid, and he hires Walton Goggins to take out Mel Gibson Santa. And he does this not knowing that Walton Goggins is also obsessed with Santa. Now, in addition to all of this, the absurdity ramps up just a little bit more because Santa is actually working for the United States military. He's the only one with the workforce able to put together electric boards or something for the F-35 or some made up jet, not the F-35, but something else. But the whole thing is kind of absurd and silly, but it has this actually like kind of deeply profound point about the weirdness of Santa as a sort of almost passive figure, right? Think about Santa. Santa is essentially a godlike figure. He's omniscient. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, whatever. He can see everything. He's immortal. He's lived forever. He will continue to live forever. He can't be killed. And yet he can't really impact anything except through these kind of almost passive deliveries of gifts or punishments. So, but they're not even really punishments. It's just you either get a present or you get
disappointment. But I gotta go.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just looking at Walton Goggins' IMDb page, and people should know he was in The Hateful Eight. If they're having trouble, if they know who he is but they don't know who he is, they go and that's me. Go and look him up, and immediately, oh, that guy. And Walton Goggins would be a perfect hitman, right? He's a perfect hitman.
Yeah.
And he's world weary and sardonic as well. So Walton Goggins and Mel Gibson has me intrigued, right? That's an interesting pairing, but I don't know how that movie got made. I mean, I don't know who they sold that to.
It's a wonderfully weird movie. I mean, look, the movie got made because here's a little bit of business of Hollywood stuff, right? This movie was able to get made because they hired Mel Gibson. Now they paid Mel Gibson probably, I don't know, $5 million, right? $5 to $7 million. And if you get Mel Gibson in your movie, you're able to sell it overseas to overseas territories, right? You can pre-sell the foreign rights. That's how this works. So if you hire Mel Gibson and your budget is say $20 million overall for this movie, well, you go to Great Britain and you sell the rights there for $1 million. You go to France, you sell the rights there for $1.5 million. You go to Germany, you sell the rights there for $2 million. So if you do it right, you're able to actually break even on a movie like this before it even comes to the American box office.
That's interesting. Is that how it's all happened? I didn't know that. I didn't know any of that. That's fascinating.
So Mel Gibson is one of those actors who still, even if he has trouble domestically in the United States with box office, he still does very well overseas. I mean, he can still open a movie overseas. And even if these movies aren't doing a ton of money at the box office overseas, they're still doing pretty brisk VOD sales because people recognize Mel Gibson. They're like, oh, Mel Gibson, I like Mel Gibson. And they're doing pretty well at Walmart on the DVD and Blu-ray aisles because people are like, oh, Mel Gibson, I know Mel Gibson. I want the new Mel Gibson movie. Mel Gibson is kind of a cautionary tale from one perspective as a one-time big box office hit who, you know, runs into trouble with with the public because he makes some mistakes. And look, Mel Gibson has made some mistakes. I'm not, nobody's going to deny that. But he is still a great actor. He still has good brand name, and he is able to get insanely absurd movies like this made. Now, should we talk about something a little bit less absurd?
Please, we have three more minutes. I need something I can watch now. I'm not going to watch that, but you know, I'm glad to hear about it.
Hillbilly Elegy.
Oh yes, because I like the book a lot. JD's been on the show a couple of times. He writes a good book. I don't know. Grandma is going to be a great character.
Yeah. So Hillbilly Elegy is in theaters right now. It's not on Netflix until November 24th. And as you mentioned, you know, people don't really want to go to theaters right now. Maybe we could talk about it a little bit more when it comes out on Netflix. But it's getting savaged right now by critics. And part of that savaging is fair because it really is kind of a Oscar bait style movie, right? Amy Adams plays J.D. Vance's mom. Glenn Close plays Mama.
Yeah, the grandma.
The vicious grandma.
She's not vicious in the book.
Vicious but loving.
Yeah, she's the rock.
Right. But this is part of the problem with the movie, is that it doesn't really know what it is about. I mean, I could tell you what happens in the movie. I could tell you the plot of it.
Well, everybody on this show knows, because J.D. Vance has been on. I've talked about Hillbilly Elegy 25 million times, how he goes to Yale after the Marine Corps. He couldn't even fill out the application for Ohio State before he did that. He lived a completely dystopian existence between a drug-addled mom and six dads. His grandma and grandpa, who were divorced but lived together down the street, or lived apart down the street, took care of him. I mean, they got the whole Middleton, Ohio, Appalachia deal.
Yeah, and the book... Again, the book is good. I like the book. The book is interesting, and it has some interesting points to make about, you know, life in Middle America at this point in our history. And I don't know if the movie didn't know how to address this, if it wanted to shy away from some of the more controversial aspects. I just don't know what they were doing. But like the end result is this weird family drama mishmash that doesn't explain how he gets to Yale. And at the bottom, and that's the real lesson of the book, right?
The short answer to that is the Marine Corps. But let me ask you something. That's the short answer.
Yeah, and the Marine Corps is not in the movie at all. And that's like there are like two or three shots, not even scenes, just shots of him like getting his hair cut.
Oh my God!
Uniform. I mean,
no wonder it's getting savage.
Absent. And that is why the movie doesn't work on a very real level.
All right, so now, Sonny, I got a question for you. I interviewed Matthew McConaughey this week, about 35-40 minutes. The sound, the Skype gods frowned on the sound, so we had to subtitle it. It's posted over at hughhewitt.com and on YouTube. Because the sound file got corrupted. I'll talk to Matthew again next week. Have you read Green Lights yet? It's a terrific book.
I have not read it yet. Is that his new memoir?
It's not a memoir. It's more a meditation, but it's a terrific book. And, you know, he's not one of these I had to wait tables in Hollywood people. Dazed and Confused launched him, and he never really touched down.
Yeah.
But here's my question for you. I finally, under the bludgeoning of my daughter, who's a Matthew McConaughey fan, I watched Dazed and Confused, and I realized why I hadn't watched it before I lived it. What do you think of Dazed and Confused?
I mean, Dazed and Confused is a great hangout movie from a time in the recent past when kids could still be kids, which is it almost feels like another universe.
Well, it felt to me like a remake of American Graffiti by people who didn't have the budget that American Graffiti had.
It's 100% in that vein of American Graffiti. Again, it's a high school hangout movie. It's kids driving around town and messing around. I mean, that movie also was also the first big role for Ben Affleck.
Oh, yes, and, you know, there are lots of people in it. You know, I looked at the role, including some people who don't get screen credit, but it's got this cult-like following, and, yeah, it's a nice movie, and All Right, All Right, All Right is famous, but it's not the – it isn't – is it a groundbreaking movie of any sort?
No, well, I mean, It's very much in the vein of like early 90s indie auteur type movies, right? So this movie comes out around the same time as like Clerks and Quentin Tarantino, you know, Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction. So it's a key text in the early 90s new Hollywood indie scene. I wouldn't say it's like a top 50 movie of all time or anything, but it has a place. As you mentioned it launched a lot of careers.
I would really enjoy reading Sonny Bunch's review of Green Lights. You're a busy man. You make your own life decisions, but I would really enjoy reading that because you would bring to that meditation. It's not a memoir. Somewhat cynical view of Hollywood. Sonny Bunch, always a pleasure, my friend, at Sonny Bunch on Twitter. He'll be back next week. I'll be right back with Tarzan and Joe on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Joined now by the poet laureate of The Hugh Hewitt Show, Tarzan and Joe, as the Masters gets underway, a bit of verse from Joe. I don't know if it'll be golf or election related.
It is election related, Joe. I'm told that when Joe Biden starts as Donald Trump's replacement, he'll move the Oval Office down to the White House basement. He's found that in the last few months it's comfortable that way, where nothing that he says or does will see the light of day. He'll issue his positions, the big guys, now the star, as soon as it's explained to him exactly what they are. But most folks have an inkling of what old Joe will do, for after all, come on, does he look socialist to you? That's how it's going to happen. You've heard the sures and certains, and just like Alan Hillary, Joe's measuring the curtains. Some votes may have counted twice, and some votes may be missed, and we've had lots of winners whose coattails don't exist. So what if statisticians say their models must be broken? So what if they're still counting? The media has spoken. Nothing's going to happen that will startle or astonish. Who could have predicted something Rashomonish? I'm told I hold on to a little hope because that's all I've got. I see things as they ought to be and simply say, why not? That's Why Not by Tarzana Joe.
You know, I have a different view on Rashomonish than I did 2 weeks ago.
That's good. That's really good.
Well, a compliment from Joe. I'm getting better. Tarzana Joe, as we head into the holiday season, how is the commission poetry business? Are people flooding Tarzana Joe at Reagan.com with requests for holiday toasts?
Actually, you know, because here in California, we're only allowed to have gatherings of two. No, things have dried up. I had a very big run in October, but November and December, a little dry.
You know what I would do if I were someone? I would ask Joe for a Christmas card poem. People try and do them themselves, and they're terrible. But can you do Christmas card poems, Joe? Do you have enough time?
I've done my own for the last few years, but, you know, so I have a template anyhow.
Give him enough data, and Tarzana Joe can make your Christmas card memorable. Tarzana Joe will post his poem from today at TarzanaJoe.com, and all the commissions are available. Rates are reasonable at TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, you.
Always good to talk to Joe on a Friday. I've got a different view on that. That was, I think, high art. That was impromptu, and I believe high art. Let me remind you, Georgia, that the Yankees are coming. Cut number one.
Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Mr. Schumer?
Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
That's what I can't imagine doing, is making the same idiot remark twice. It is so idiotic to tell Georgia that you're coming from Manhattan to take their state so that they can deliver themselves into socialism, a packed Supreme Court, the repeal of their Second Amendment rights, the abolition of Medicare as we know it, a reduced military footprint that would probably greatly cripple all of the many military bases in Georgia. And you were doing so on behalf of Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, who John Ossoff is like AOC light. And Raphael Warnock is a radical. Here's Raphael Warnock on Morning Joe with Willie Geist, cut number eight.
So, Reverend, we've now seen the Loeffler campaign is coming out, as you sort of anticipated in your ad there. They're coming out with the attacks on you. Their most recent attack in an ad that they just put up recently, yesterday, was your relationship with the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, the Chicago pastor who we all came to know during the 2008 presidential campaign as he was Barack Obama's preacher as well. What is your relationship with him? Do you believe he's an anti-Semite?
I know Reverend Wright. I'm not an anti-Semite. I've never defended anti-Semitic comments from anyone. And Kelly Loeffler knows better. She is trying to engage in the same old Washington politics of division and distraction. And there's a reason for this. She can't explain why she is for getting rid of health care in the middle of a pandemic. It's Reverend Raphael Warnock who's running for the U.S. Senate. And if she wants to know what I think, she can find me in the scripture. Love your neighbor as yourself. And for me, in practical terms, that means you don't get rid of health care in the middle of a pandemic.
He didn't answer the question, is Reverend Wright anti-Semitic? He didn't answer the question of whether or not he'd pack the Supreme Court. Reverend Warnock wants to run as a stealth radical. I do not believe he will be elected. I do not believe Georgia wants a stealth radical. I know they don't want AOC, Life, and John Ossoff, but people have to get involved. They have to get registered in Georgia now. 1-800-520-1234. I'll talk to first-time callers in the next hour as well. They have to get registered now by December 7th. Their friends, their family, they go to church on Sunday and tell all your parishioners, go to temple on Saturday, tell all your congregants, go to your book club and tell all of your readers, go to school and tell all of your teachers, go to the PTA and tell all the parents that Georgia has got to hold the line for the United States against radicalism. They've got to keep Mitch McConnell as the majority leader. They've got to keep the Supreme Court from being packed. It's up to Georgia. You've got to reelect David Perdue, send back Kelly Loeffler to the United States Senate, Perdue and Loeffler in Georgia, and it's up to you to do it. And just remember, they are not, John Ossoff does not want you to know how left he is. Radical Reverend Warnock does not want you to know how radical he is. But we will tell you every day, and we will tell you about Chuck Schumer's vow to come and take Georgia three times a day every day between now and January 5. And I will be right back after the break here on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.